Chapter 36. The Ammerlin is Raised. Egwene raised her head from the pillows and looked around, for a moment surprised to find herself in a canopied bed in a large room. Early morning light spilled in at the windows, and a plumply pretty woman in a simple grey wool dress was setting a large white pitcher of hot water on the washstand. Chesa had been introduced to her last night as her maid, the Ammerlin's maid. A covered tray already sat beside her comb and brush on a narrow table beneath a mirror with a silver-worked frame. The smell of hot bread and stewed pears drifted in the air. Anaya had prepared the room for Egwene's arrival. The furnishings still did not match, but they were the best Salidar had to offer, from the padded armchair upholstered in green silk to the stand mirror in the corner with all its gilding intact, to the ornately carved wardrobe where her belongings now hung. Unfortunately, Anaya's taste seemed to run heavily to frothy lace and frills. Both thickly bordered the canopy of the bed and the drawn-back bed curtains, and one or the other decked the table and its stool, the arms and legs of the padded chair, the coverlet Egwene had tossed on the floor, and the thin silk sheet that had followed. The curtains at the windows were lace, too. Egwene put her head back down. Lace edged the pillows as well. The room made her feel she might drown in lace. There had been a great deal of talk after Shiryam and the others brought her here to what they called the Little Tower, almost all of it on their side. They were not really interested in what she thought Rand was up to, or what Corrin and the others might want. There was an embassy on its way to Camelin under Mirana, who knew what to do, though they were rather vague about exactly what that was. For the most part, they did the talking, she the listening, her questions brushed aside. The answers to some were unimportant, she was told, for now anyway. Those that were answered got a quick gloss before they went on to what was important. Embassies had been sent off to every ruler, each one named in turn, with an explanation of why he or she was absolutely vital to Salidar's cause, which it seemed everyone was. They did not quite say everything would fail if even one ruler went against them, but the emphasis they laid on every one said it for them. Gareth Bryn was building an army that would eventually be strong enough to prosecute their, her, claims against Elida, if it came to that. They did not seem to think it would, despite Elida's demand that they return to the tower. They seemed to believe that once word of Egwene Alvear's elevation to the Ammerlin seat was spread, Aes Sedai would come to her, even some of those in the tower now, enough that Elida would have no choice but to step down on demand. The White Cloaks were twiddling their thumbs for some reason, so Salidar was as safe as anywhere for as long as was necessary. That Loghain had been healed as well as Swan and Lyanna. Of course she would have been healed if she was here. It was just a surprise to find out she was. Came up almost in passing. "Nothing to worry you there," Shiryam said soothingly. She stood over Egwene, who sat in the padded armchair with the others in an arc around her. "The hall will argue whether to gentle him again until old age relieves us of the problem." Egwene tried to stifle another yawn. It was getting late, and Anaya said, "We need to let her sleep. Tomorrow is almost as important as tonight was, child." Abruptly, she laughed to herself softly. "Mother. Tomorrow was important too, Mother. We will send Chesa to help you get ready for bed." Even after they left, going to bed was not easy. While Chesa was still undoing Egwene's dress, Romanda appeared with a number of suggestions for the Ammerlin, delivered in a firm, no-nonsense voice, and no sooner did she go than Lelaine came, as if the blue sitter had been waiting for the yellow's departure. Lelaine had her own helpful counsel, given with Egwene sitting up in bed after Chesa was gently but firmly put out of the room. It was not a bit like Romanda's advice, neither was much like Shiryam's, and came with a warm, even affectionate smile, but with just as much certainty that Egwene would need a little guidance in her first months. Neither woman exactly said that she could guide Egwene to what was best for the tower better than Shiryam, or that Shiryam and her little circle might try to tug in too many directions, or that they might give bad advice, but the strong implications were there. Romanda and Lelaine also each hinted that the other might have her own agenda, one that undoubtedly would cause untold misery. By the time Egwene channeled the last lamp out, she expected a sleep full of nightmares. In fact, there were only two that she remembered the next morning. In one, she was Amarlin, Aes Sedai, but without taking the oaths, and everything she did led to disaster. That wakened her bolt upright just to get away, yet she was sure it was not a dream with meaning. It was much the same as one of her experiences inside the Turangrial, where she had been tested for accepted. As far as anyone knew, those had no connection to reality. Not to this reality. The other was the sort of foolishness she expected. She knew enough about her own dreams now to know that, even if she had to wake herself finally to escape that one as well. Shiryam had snatched the stole from her shoulders, and then everyone was laughing at her and pointing at the fool who really believed a girl of barely 18 years could be Amarlin. Not just the Aes Sedai, but all the wise ones, and Rand, and Perrin, and Matt, Nynaeve and Elaine, almost everyone she had ever met, while she stood there naked, desperately trying to put on an accepted's dress that might have fit a 10-year-old child. "Now you can't be lying abed all day, Mother." Egwene opened her eyes. Chesa had an expression of mock severity on her face and a twinkle in her eye. At least twice Egwene's age, at their first meeting, she had fallen straight into the blend of respect and familiarity that could be expected of an old retainer. "The Amarlin seat can't be lying slug abed. Not today, of all days."
"The last thing in my mind."
Scrambling stiffly from the bed, Egwene stretched before pulling off her sweaty shift. She could not wait until she had worked long enough with the power to stop sweating. "I'll wear the blue silk with the white morning stars along the neckline." She noticed Chesa very carefully not looking as the woman handed her a fresh shift. The effects of meeting her toe had faded somewhat, but she still appeared faintly bruised. "I had an accident before I got here," she said, hurriedly thrusting her head through the new shift. Chesa nodded in sudden understanding. "Horses are wicked, untrustworthy beasts. You'll never get me on one, Mother. A good, sturdy cart is ever so much safer. If I fell off a horse like that, I'd never let on to a soul. Nildra would say such things. And Kaelin! Oh, you'd never believe the things some women can say the moment your back is turned. Of course, it's different for the Amarlin seat, but that's what I'd do." Holding the wardrobe door open, she glanced sideways at Egwene to see whether she understood. Egwene smiled at her. "People are people, low or high," she said gravely. Chesa beamed for an instant before bringing out the blue dress. Shiryam might have chosen her, but she was the Amarlin seat's maid, and her loyalty was to the Amarlin seat. And she was right about today's importance, too. Eating quickly, despite Chesa's murmurs to herself about how gulping food always upset the stomach, the warm milk with honey and spices was sovereign for settling a nervous stomach. Egwene scrubbed her teeth and washed hurriedly, let Chesa take a few licks at her hair with the brush, and dressed as fast as the woman could get the blue silk over her head. Settling the 7-striped stole on her shoulders, she paused to look in the stand mirror. Stole or no stole, she did not look very much like the Amarlin seat. "But I am. This is no dream." In the large room below, the tables stood as empty as they had in the night. Only the sitters were there, wearing their shawls and clustered according to Adja, and Shiryam standing alone. They quieted as Egwene descended the stair, curtsied when she reached the bottom. Romanda and Lilaine eyed her sharply, then turned away, very obviously not looking at Shiryam, and resumed their conversations. When Egwene remained silent, the others did the same. Occasionally one of them glanced at her. Even in whispers their voices sounded too loud. There was silence outside, utter stillness. Egwene plucked her handkerchief from her sleeve and patted her face. None of them sweated a drop. Shiryam came to stand beside her.
"It will go well," she said softly. "Just remember what you are to say."
That was another thing they had gone over in detail last night. Egwene had a speech to deliver this morning. Egwene nodded. It was strange. Her stomach should have been turning over, her knees shaking. They were not, and she could not understand.
There is no need to be anxious, Shiryam said. She sounded as if she thought Egwene was and meant to soothe her, but before she could open her mouth again, Romanda spoke loudly.
It is time.
In a rustle of skirts, the sitters lined up according to age, with Romanda in the lead this time, and marched outside. Egwene moved to just short of the door. Still no flutters. Maybe Chesa was right about the warm milk. Silence still. Then Romanda's voice, too loud for nature.
We have an Ammerlin seat.
Egwene stepped outside into a heat she would not have expected until later in the day. As her foot left the stoop, it landed on a platform woven of air. The lines of sitters stretched out to either side of her, each sitter glowing with the light of Sidar.
Egwene Alvir,
Romanda intoned, her voice carried by weaves of the power.
The Watcher of the Seals, the Flame of Tar Valon, the Ammerlin Seat.
They lifted her high as Romanda spoke, raising the Ammerlin in truth until she stood just below the thatched roof, standing on thin air, it would seem, to any but a woman who could channel. There were plenty to see her outlined by the rising sun. A second weave made the light into a shimmering weave around her. Men and women packed the street. The crowd disappeared around corners. Every doorway was filled, every window, every rooftop except that of the little tower itself. A roar erupted that very nearly drowned out Romanda, waves of cheering that rolled across the village. Egwene scanned the crowd, searching for Nynaeve and Elaine, but she could not find them in that sea of upturned faces. An age seemed to pass before there was quiet enough for her to speak. The weave that had carried Romanda's voice shifted to her. They had prepared her speech, Shiryam and the others, a weighty exhortation she might have been able to deliver without blushing if she was twice her age, or better yet, three times. She had made a few changes on her own. We are gathered together in a quest for truth and justice that will not end until the false Ammerlin Elida is removed from the place she usurped. The only change in that was will not for cannot, but she thought it stronger and better. As Ammerlin, I will lead you in that quest, and I will not falter, as I know you will not. And that was quite enough exhortation. In any case, she had no intention of remaining up here long enough to repeat everything they wanted said. It all amounted to what she already had said anyway. As my keeper of the chronicles, I name Shiryam Bayanar. That produced a much smaller cheer. A keeper was not an Ammerlin, after all. Egwene glanced down, waiting until she saw Shiryam hurry outside, still draping her shoulders with the stole of the keeper, blue, to show she had been raised from the blue Aja. It had been decided not to make a copy of the Ammerlin's staff, topped with a golden flame that the keeper carried, until the true staff was recovered from the White Tower. They would have to do without. Shiryam had been expecting a much longer wait, and she looked at Egwene with open exasperation. In the lines of sitters, Romanda and Lilaine wore no expression at all. Each had had her own very strong suggestion for keeper, and needless to say, neither had been Shiryam. Egwene drew breath and turned back to the waiting crowd. In honor of this day, I hereby decree that all accepted and novices are absolved of penances and punishments. That was customary, and produced shouts of glee only from white-clad girls and a few accepted who forgot themselves. In honor of this day, I hereby decree that Theodrin Dabe, Feolane Oranda, Nynaeve Almira, and Elaine Trakand are from this moment raised to the shawl, full sisters and Aes Sedai. A sort of questioning silence greeted that, with here and there a murmur. It was not according to custom at all, far from it, but it was said, and a good thing Morvern had happened to mention Theodrin and Feolane. Time to return to what they had written out for her. I hereby decree this a day of feasting and celebration. Let no work be done but what is necessary for enjoyment. May the light shine on you all, and the Creator's hand shelter you. That last was swallowed by a tumultuous roar that overwhelmed the weave carrying her words. Some people began dancing in the street right there and then, though there was hardly room for them to move. The platform of air descended perhaps a trifle more quickly than it had risen. The sitters were staring at her when she stepped off, and the glow of Sidar began winking out among them almost before she touched ground. Shiriam darted up to take Egwene's arm, smiling at the stone-faced sitters. "I must show the Armorlin her study. Forgive me." Egwene would not exactly have said Shiriam hustled her inside, but then again she would not exactly have said she did not. She did not think Shiriam would actually try to drag her, but it seemed best to gather her skirts with her free hand and take longer strides so as not to find out. Her study at the back of the waiting room turned out to be somewhat smaller than her bedroom, with two windows, a writing table, a straight-backed chair behind it, and two more in front. Nothing else. The beetle-ridden wall panels had been waxed to a dull shine, but the tabletop was quite bare. There was a piece of flowered carpet on the floor. "Forgive me if I was abrupt, Mother," Shiriam said, releasing her arm. "But I thought we should speak privately before you spoke to any of the sitters. They all had a hand in writing your speech, and—" "I know I made a few changes," Egwene said with a bright smile. "But I felt such a mudgeon standing up there with all that to say." "All of them had a hand? No wonder it had sounded like a pompous old woman who could not stop talking." She almost laughed. "Anyway, I said what had to be said, the heart of it. Elida must be removed, and I will lead them to do it."
"Yes," Shiriam said slowly.
"But there might be a few questions about some of the other changes. Theodrin and Faerlane will certainly be raised Aes Sedai as soon as we have the tower and the oath rod back, and very likely Elaine. But Nynaeve still can't light a candle unless she yanks her braid at people first." "That was exactly the point I wished to raise," Romanda said, coming in without knocking. "Mother," she added, after a distinct pause. Lelaine shut the door behind them, nearly in the faces of several other sitters. "It seemed necessary," Egwene said, widening her eyes. "I thought of it last night. I've been raised Aes Sedai without being tested or taking the three oaths, and if I was the only one, it would just point me out. With four others, I won't seem quite so odd anymore. Not to people here, at least. Elida might try to make something of it when she hears, but most folk know so little about Aes Sedai they won't know what to believe anyway. It is the people here who matter most. They must have confidence in me." Anyone but Aes Sedai would have gaped at her. As it was, Romanda very nearly spluttered. "That may be so," Lelaine began sharply, giving her blue-fringed shawl a jerk, then stopped. It was so. More, the Ammerlin seat had publicly decreed those women Aes Sedai. The hall might be able to keep them accepted, or whatever Theodrin and Faerlane were in their cases, but the hall could not erase memories, and it would not stop everyone knowing they had gone against the Ammerlin on her first day. A great deal that would do for confidence. "I hope, Mother," Romanda said in a tight voice, "that you will consult the hall first the next time. Going against custom can have unexpected consequences." "Going against law can have unfortunate ones," Lelaine said bluntly, tacking on a belated, "Mother." That was nonsense, or close to it. The conditions for being raised Aes Sedai were set in law, true, but the Ammerlin could decree almost anything she wished. Still, a wise Ammerlin did not jump into fights with the hall when they could be avoided.
"Oh, I will consult in the future," Egwene told them earnestly. "But it did seem the right thing to do. Please, would you excuse me now? I really do need to speak with the Keeper."
They practically quivered. Their curtsies were slight, their parting words perfectly correct so far as the words went, but muttered in Romanda's case, and in Lelaine's, sharp enough to cut. "You handled that very well," Shiriam said when they were gone. She sounded surprised. "But you must remember the hall can make problems for any Ammerlin. One reason I am your keeper is so that I can advise you and keep you away from that sort of problem. You should ask me about any decrees you want to make, and if I'm not at hand, Mirella and Morvryn and the others. We are here to help you, Mother."
"I understand, Shiriam. I promise to listen carefully to whatever you say.
I'd like to see Nynaeve and Elaine, if that is possible.
It should be, Shiriam said, smiling, though I may have to pull Nynaeve away from a yellow physically. Swan is coming to teach you about the etiquette of being Amyrlin. There is a great deal of it to learn, but I'll tell her to come a little later.
Egwene stared at the door after Shiriam had gone. Then she turned and stared at the table. Absolutely bare. Not a report to be read. No records to study. Not so much as pen and ink to write a note, much less a decree. And Swan coming to teach her etiquette. When a timid tap came at the door, she was still standing there.
Come, she said, wondering whether it was Swan or perhaps a servant with a snack of honey cakes, already cut into suitably small pieces.
Nynaeve poked her head in hesitantly, then was pushed into the room by Elaine. Side by side, they made perfect deep curtsies, spreading white banded skirts wide and murmuring, Mother.
Please don't do that, Egwene said. Actually, it was more of a wail. You're the only two friends I have, and if you start...
Light, she was almost ready to cry. Elaine reached her first by a hair, throwing her arms around her. Nynaeve was silent, fiddling nervously with a slim silver bracelet, but not Elaine.
We're still your friends, Egwene, but you are the Amyrlin seat. Light, remember I told you one day you'd be the Amyrlin when I was...
Elaine grimaced faintly.
Well, in any case, you are. We can't just walk up to the Amyrlin and say, Egwene, does this dress make me look fat?
It would not be proper.
Yes, it would, Egwene said stoutly.
Well, in private, she allowed after a moment.
When we're alone, I want you to tell me a dress makes me look fat, or whatever you want.
Smiling at Nynaeve, she tugged the woman's thick braid gently. Nynaeve gave a start.
And I want you to pull that at me if you feel like it. I need somebody who is Egwene's friend and doesn't see this bloody stole all the time, or I will go crazy. Speaking of dresses, why are you still in those? I thought sure you could be changed by now.
Nynaeve did pull at her braid then.
That Nissau told me it must be some sort of mistake and dragged me off. She said she wasn't going to waste her turn just for a celebration.
The sounds of it were beginning to rise outside, a general hum just loud enough to penetrate the stone walls, and a faint thread of music.
Well, it was no mistake, Egwene said.
Nissau's turn? Well, she was not going to ask now. Nynaeve was not happy about it, and Egwene wanted this to be as happy an occasion as it could. Dragging the chair from behind the table, she saw two plump patchwork cushions on the seat and smiled. Chesa.
We are going to sit here and talk, and then I will help you find the two best dresses in Salidar. Tell me about these discoveries of yours. Anaya mentioned them, and Shiriam, but I could not make them hold still long enough to give me any details.
Almost as one, the pair paused in the act of sitting and exchanging glances. Unaccountably, they seemed reluctant to talk of anything but Nynaeve's healing Swan and Lyanna. Nynaeve repeated three times rather anxiously that healing Loghain had been an accident, and Elaine's work with Turangrial. Those were remarkable feats, especially Nynaeve's, but there was only so much they could say, and there were only so many times Egwene could tell them how marvelous what they had done was, and how much she envied them. Trying to demonstrate did not last long. Egwene had no real feel for healing, especially not this complicated tapestry Nynaeve wove without thought. And though she had an affinity for metals and very good strength in both fire and earth, Elaine lost her almost immediately. Of course they wanted to know what life was like among the Aiel. From the startled blinks and shocked laughs, abruptly cut off, she was not sure they believed everything she told them, and she certainly did not tell everything. The Aiel led naturally into Rand. Both women stared all through her rendition of his meeting with the Aes Sedai. They agreed that he was wading waters deeper than he knew and needed someone to guide him before he stepped into a hole. Elaine thought Min might help with that once the embassy reached Camelin. This was the first Egwene knew Min was with him or had been in Salidar, though in truth Elaine seemed rather half-hearted. And she muttered something truly peculiar, as if it were a truth she did not like hearing. Min is a better woman than I am.
For some reason that got a sympathetic look from Nynaeve.
I wish I were there, Elaine went on in a stronger voice. To guide him, I mean.
She looked from Egwene to Nynaeve, red touching her cheeks.
Well, that too.
Nynaeve and Egwene began laughing so hard they nearly fell out of their chairs, and Elaine joined in almost immediately.
There's one good thing to tell, Elaine, Egwene said breathlessly, still trying to recover.
Then she realized exactly what she was going to say, and why. Light! What a mire she had stepped into, and while laughing.
I'm sorry about your mother, Elaine. You don't know how I wished I could offer my condolences before this.
Elaine looked confused, as well she might.
The point is, Rand means to give you the Lion Throne and the Sun Throne.
To her surprise, Elaine sat up very straight.
He does he?
She said in a cool, flat voice.
He intends to give them to me.
Her chin rose slightly.
I have some claim to the Sun Throne, and if I choose to make it, I will do so in my own right. As for the Lion Throne, Randall Thor has no right, none, to give me what is mine already.
I'm sure he didn't mean it that way, Egwene protested.
Did he? He loves you, Elaine. I know he does.
If only it were that simple, Elaine muttered, whatever that was supposed to mean. Nynaeve sniffed.
Men always say they didn't mean it that way. You would think they spoke a different language.
When I put my hands on him again, Elaine said firmly, I will teach him to speak the right language. Give me. It was all Egwene could do not to laugh again. The next time Elaine laid hands on Rand, she would be too busy hunting a secluded spot to teach him anything. This was very like old times. Now your Aes Sedai, you can go to him any time you want. Nobody can stop you.
A quick look passed between the pair.
The hall isn't letting anyone just pick up and leave, Nynaeve said, and even if she could, we found something I think is more important.
Elaine nodded vigorously. I think so, too. I'll admit the first thought I had when I heard you announced Amyrlin was that now maybe Nynaeve and I could go find it. Well, the second. The first was a sort of stunned joy.
Egwene blinked in confusion.
You found something, but now you need to find it.
Leaning forward in their chairs, they answered eagerly and almost on top of one another.
We found it, Elaine said, but only until I run Riod.
We used need. Nynaeve added. We certainly needed something.
It's a bowl, Elaine continued. A Turang Rial, and I think it might be strong enough to change the weather.
Only the bowl is somewhere in Ebu Dar, in an awful tangled warren of streets with no signs or anything to help. The hall sent a letter to Merlilla, but she'll never find it, especially since she is supposed to be busy convincing Queen Tylin that the real White Tower is here.
We told them it needed a man in the channeling. Nynaeve sighed.
Of course, that was before Loghain, though I don't think they would trust him.
It doesn't really need a man, Elaine said. We just wanted to make them believe they needed Rand. I don't know how many women it does need. Maybe a full circle of 13.
Elaine says it's very powerful, Egwene. It could make the weather right again. I'd welcome that, just to get my weather sense straight again.
The bowl can make it right, Egwene.
Elaine exchanged happy looks with Nynaeve.
All you have to do is send us to Ebu Dar.
The flood receded, and Egwene leaned back in her chair.
I will do what I can. Maybe there'll be no objection now that your Aes Sedai.
She had the feeling there would be, though. Raising them had seemed such a bold stroke, but she was beginning to believe it was not quite so simple.
What you can? Elaine said incredulously. You are the Amyrlin's seat, Egwene. You give a command, and Aes Sedai jump.
She flashed a quick grin.
Say jump, and I'll prove it.
Grimacing, Egwene shifted on the cushions.
I'm the Amyrlin, but...
Elaine, Shiriam doesn't have to think very hard to recall a novice named Egwene staring goggle-eyed at everything and being sent to rake the new garden walks for eating apples after bedtime. She means to lead me by the hand, or maybe push me by the scruff of my neck.
Romanda and Lilaine both wanted to be Amarlin, and they see that novice too. They intend to show me where to put my feet as much as Shiriam does.
Nynaeve frowned worriedly, but Elaine was pure indignation.
You can't let them get away with trying to
bully you.
You are the Amarlin. The Amarlin tells the hall what to do, not the other way around. You have to stand up and make them see the Amarlin seat.
Egwene's laugh had a touch of bitterness. Had it only been last night that she was so defiant about being bullied?
That will take a little time, Elaine. You see, I finally understood why they chose me. Part is for Rand, I think. Maybe they believe he'll be more amenable if he sees me wearing the stole. The other part is because they remember that novice. A girl, who's so used to doing as she's told that there will be no trouble making her do as they want.
She fingered the striped stole around her neck.
Well, whatever their reasons, they chose me Amarlin, and since they did, I mean to be Amarlin, but I have to be careful, at first anyway. Maybe Swan made the hall jump every time she frowned. She wondered whether that had ever been true. But if I try that, I might just be the first Amarlin ever deposed the day after she was raised.
Elaine looked dumbfounded, but Nynaeve nodded slowly. Perhaps being wisdom and dealing with the women's circle back home had given her more insight into how the Amarlin seat and the hall of the tower actually worked together than all of Elaine's training to be queen.
Elaine, once word spreads and rulers know about me, I can begin making the hall realize they chose an Amarlin, not a puppet. But until then, they really could take this stole away as fast as they gave it. I mean, if I'm not really Amarlin, then it isn't hard to push me aside. There might be a few mutters, but I have no doubt they could smooth those over fast enough. If anyone outside Saldidar ever heard somebody named Egwene Alvear was raised Amarlin, it would just be one of those peculiar rumors that grow up around Aes Sedai.
"What are you going to do?"
Elaine asked quietly. "You are not going to accept it meekly."
That made Egwene smile wholeheartedly. It was not a question, but a firm statement of fact.
"No, I am not."
She had listened to a number of Moiraine's lectures to Rand about the game of houses. Back then she had thought the game absurd and worse than underhanded. Now she hoped she could remember everything she had heard. The Aiel always said, "Use the weapons you have."
It may help that they're trying to fit me for three different leashes. I can pretend to be pulled by one or the other, depending on which is closest to what I want to do. Once in a while I can do just what I want, the way I did raising you two, but not very often yet.
Squaring her shoulders, she met their gazes levelly.
"I would like to say I raised you because you deserved it, but the truth is I did it because you're my friends, and because I hope as full sisters you can help me. I certainly don't know who else I can trust except you two. I will send you to Ebu Dar as soon as I can, but before and after you are who I can discuss things with. I know you will tell me the truth. That trip to Ebu Dar may not take as long as you might think. You two have made all sorts of discoveries, so I hear, but if I can puzzle a few things out, I may have one of my own."
"That will be wonderful," Elaine said. But she sounded almost absent-minded.